how does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row. Hi guys, welcome back to Southern Fried Storytime. I'm so excited to talk to you today. Today we're going to discuss Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary. Like most of our nursery rhymes that we've covered, Mary, Mary is a poem whose true meaning may be lost to time forever. We have no documentation of the song existing before the 18th century. Most interpretations of it predate that, so it may be impossible to nail down a concrete meaning. So in other words, we'll have a lot of theories, but not necessarily any provable, conclusive meaning. Still, as always, there are quite a few of these theories on this rhyme, and it's so ingrained in our culture that it even appears in other literary works, such as Frances Hodgins Burnett's The Secret Garden. One of the theories about Mary, Mary is that it is a commentary on Mary, Queen of Scots. Like most queens, she was thought to have some very strong opinions, so others may think her the contrary type, especially as she tried to make many major changes to Scotland during her short reign, including a hard push for Catholicism. Since she had been hiding from the English, Mary was absent from Scotland for most of her life, leading to many of her subjects to question why they should feel loyal to her at all. In her case, the pretty maids in a row were thought to be her ladies-in-waiting, and the cockle shells were thought to be a reference to her unfaithful husband. But the poem is most commonly thought to refer to another contrary Mary, the infamous daughter of Henry VIII, Mary I, aka Bloody Mary. Some would argue that her nickname is unfair because Mary only killed one-third of the people that her father did. I would argue that any child raised in the crazy environment that she was would be very unlikely to have anything resembling normal mental health. It's fairly obvious why someone would find this Mary to be contrary. After all, her once Catholic father basically created his own denomination in order to be able to divorce her mother and make her illegitimate. It makes sense that she would see Catholicism as the path the country should take, as the country's departure from it was the end of her family and position. It not only represented her most deeply rooted beliefs, but the closest thing she ever had to a normal life, and the last time she ever truly thought her father loved her. She would fight desperately to convert the country back, and to take what she thought was rightfully hers for the rest of her tragic life. In this interpretation, the garden in How Does Your Garden Grow may be a reference to the cemeteries that her actions were filling, or to her infamous inability to produce an heir. Which is pretty cold, it's kind of a horrible thing to make fun of, but this is also thought to be one of the possible origins of the Bloody Mary mirror game as well, though I only found one source linking the historical Bloody Mary to the one who appears in your mirror when you chant her name in any kind of concrete way. For more on that, I recommend you check out the Messed Up Origins episode on Bloody Mary on YouTube. John Solo has very informative content with very entertaining delivery. If you like this podcast, you'll love his YouTube channel. In this case, the silver bells and cockle shells would be various torture devices such as thumb screws. Since your hands are one of the most sensitive parts of your body, these victims would really, really feel the pain here, even if it doesn't put their life in any immediate danger. The pretty maids all in a row may be a reference to the manner of execution that eventually was nicknamed the Maiden, aka the Guillotine. So here another callback to the fact that Mary put a lot of people to death, though, as I mentioned, compared to her father, she was probably a lovely little breath of fresh air. That guy was the worst. Mary I is also the primary figure in the theoretical explanation for the next nursery rhyme of the day, Three Blind Mice. This rhyme was recorded comparatively early in 1609, and we actually do have a kind of written out recording of the song that early, which is unusual in, you know, any of the nursery rhymes we've gone over so far. Most of them, you don't see them actually put pen to paper until the 1800s, so this is pretty unique as far as these kind of children's rhymes go. So it's interesting. I don't know why that one in particular, but it gives us a better idea of its origins and therefore its original intent. In the primary theory I found about its origin, the three blind mice were Protestant loyalists who were plotting against Queen Mary. In case you weren't tipped off to her disposition in the Mary Mary section of this episode, let's just say she did not consider this rebellion to be constructive criticism. The theory is that these three leaders, being called blind, is a hint that they were tortured and perhaps even blinded under Mary's rule. However, the three martyrs in the poem were burned at the stake, and while they may have been tortured, there's no historic evidence that they truly were blinded. It's more likely that the poem was written by those who supported Mary in her position towards, you know, religion, and so, you know, unlike the last poem. And as such, they call the three Protestants blind metaphorically, as they cannot see that Catholicism is the true and correct path from the perspective of those who made the rhyme. In other words, the path for England. I'm just going to say this. Clearly, the Catholic versus Protestant thing was a huge deal in the UK and Europe once upon a time. It was a massive upheaval within the Christian worldview and the justification for many lives lost and much suffering. As an American, the friction between these two branches of Christianity plays a much smaller role in our history, so I tend to see it as a terrible tragedy that didn't need to occur. I tend to think that a lot of good could be done in our society today if people could just grow the maturity required to agree to disagree on certain non-life-threatening topics. Instead, the reaction team tends to be a decisive desire to escalate these differences into life-threatening topics, as Queen Mary did. Sadly, I see this same thing today, and to me, if we escalate to violence and broken relationships when it comes to small disagreements, how can we possibly unite to help each other survive a major catastrophe? Today, we're so divided over tiny issues like using specific words and who is or is not allowed to wear what, that if a global challenge like another World War II arose, would we have the maturity, strength, and integrity to endure it? Maybe it's time to stop fighting about who eats meat or gluten and why we can never get along with them, and start focusing on what we have in common. What divides us makes us weaker, just as unchallenging lives of comfort rob us of our endurance and mental fortitude. Both Queen Mary and her Protestant opponents would agree that a very, very wise man once said, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Thank you for tuning in today. I am so grateful that you chose to spend your time with me. I hope you learned something today and that the content put you in a more kind of thoughtful, kindly mode today. I really enjoy our time together, and I hope that you'll show your support by liking, subscribing, and listening to the show whenever you can. You can support me financially by clicking on the link in the show notes, or if inflation has made this impossible for you right now, I understand completely and would love it if you would share the show with any friends or family members that you think would enjoy a good story. Have a beautiful day.